on growing up and a legacy. Preface. There is much more to life than what you have been taught. The problem lies in what you don't know you have been missing. What has been denied to you without your knowledge. But what offends me the most is that you have been robbed of greatness. You have a duty to leave a magnificent and lasting legacy. That is what you have been cheated out of. That is what was stolen from the world. I want you to be a hero, to rise to the highest of mountains and to rage against the dying of the light. Don't be angry with me. No amount of convincing will ever have me believe that you are the shepherd's sheep. And should you fade without a grand and lasting legacy, I will weep. I will weep. Now, without further ado, let's rattle some chains again. Enough of lies. A call for the end of religious tyranny and the rise of wisdom. Ladies and gentlemen, friends of truth, foes of dogma, seekers of light in a darkened world, tonight I rise not to comfort you, but to confront you. Not to console, but to expose, to tear the sacred veil from that which has masqueraded too long as truth. It is time, long past time, to speak with clarity about what has chained the human spirit for millennia. It is not Satan, it is not sin. It is organized religion. Yes, religion. That ancient tyranny, that celestial North Korea, that factory of fear which dares to tell children that they are born wicked, but can be made pure if they obey. Religion has not enlightened us. It has enslaved us. It has preyed on every vulnerability of the human condition, every longing, every fear, every grief converted into currency for power. And what does it do with that power? Does it heal? No. It punishes the curious. It demonizes science. It fears women. It wages war in the name of peace. It promises eternity, but steals the present. Let me say this plainly. No child was ever born believing in hell. No child was born believing they must be beaten into purity or confess sins they did not commit or believe that questioning is a crime. Those ideas were taught systematically, cruelly, and often with a smile. They are not education. They are indoctrination. They do not liberate. They lobotomize. We know. Because we were those children. Religious indoctrination is not moral instruction. It is psychological abuse dressed in sacred robes. It teaches children to believe in invisible surveillance instead of critical thinking. It teaches shame for the body. It replaces curiosity with conformity. And perhaps most unforgivably, it teaches them to accept injustice, to wait for reward in the afterlife while oppression thrives on earth. No more. We are told, but religion gives people comfort. Well, yes, so does heroin. That does not mean we'll legalize delusion and inject it into the minds of the innocent. We are told, but religion teaches community. And I ask you, at what cost? A community built on lies is a cult, not a culture. Friends, we are not here to tear down faith for the sake of destruction. We are here to replace fantasy with understanding, to replace submission with sovereignty, to give the world something greater than salvation, education, to give our children something more precious than heaven, freedom of mind. Let the clergy tremble, for their time is passing. Let the dogmas be buried in the soil of history. Let their holy texts be studied as mythology, not morality. We must now build a civilization of wisdom. Not one bowed in prayer, but one rising in thought. Not one waiting for divine intervention, but one taking human responsibility. Not one that tells children to kneel, but one that teaches them to stand tall, ask questions, and never stop learning. We must raise a generation not afraid of hell, but afraid of ignorance and war. Not obsessed with purity, but committed to truth. Not waiting for paradise, but building it here, now, in this world. Let us say this tonight, with the force of fire and reason. We reject fear as a teacher. We reject guilt as morality. We reject ancient myths as modern law. And we declare the age of superstition over. It ends with us, right now, right here. Let us rise with clarity, with courage, with compassion rooted not in scripture, but in shared humanity. The world will not be saved by prayer. The world will be saved by thinking people who know that truth is sacred, that freedom is non-negotiable, and that the mind, once awakened, must never be put back to sleep. Ladies and gentlemen, we are told from the cradle to be humble before mysteries, to accept without question the sacred stories of our ancestors, and to bow before the unseen. But I put it to you tonight that it is not humility that is being asked of us. It is intellectual surrender. Please, no more. Religion, that ancient and persistent fraud, did not come to us to answer our questions. It came to exploit our fears. It preys not upon our strength, but upon our vulnerabilities. And it has done so with such ferocity, such ingenuity, that entire civilizations have come to mistake servitude for salvation. Let us begin at the most primal level, the fear of death. There is perhaps no deeper anxiety in the human condition than the knowledge of our own mortality. Religion exploits this dread masterfully, dangling before us the carrot of eternal life, heaven, nirvana, reincarnation, anything but the truth. Children are taught not how to face death with courage, but how to fear hell with obedience. This, my friends, is not education. This is psychological blackmail. Next comes our need for meaning, a noble desire to be sure. But religion hijacks this impulse too. Rather than encouraging young minds to find meaning through curiosity, achievement, love, and exploration, it tells them their lives already have a purpose, divinely assigned, immutably fixed, and conveniently doled out by men in robes. A child, instead of becoming a sovereign being, becomes a character in someone else's script. This is not purpose. This is puppetry. And what of grief? The pain of losing someone you love? Here too, religion inserts its claws. They are in a better place, it says. You will see them again if you believe. Oh. In truth, this is not comfort, but consolation at the price of truth. Instead of helping a child develop the strength to mourn, religion installs a dependency on fantasies. The grief is deferred, not resolved. And when the illusion cracks, as it inevitably does, the pain returns with interest. Then there is the most corrosive tactic of all, guilt and shame. Religions do not merely teach that mistakes are to be corrected. They teach that you are fallen, that your very existence is a moral offense, and that salvation can only be bought through surrender. Children are told that their natural thoughts of wonder, of descent, are sinful. And if you think that's metaphor, you've never seen a child terrorized after being told their search for answers might damn them for eternity. This is not morality. This is abuse. Now, let's not forget the universal human yearning to belong. A beautiful trait, twisted. Religion offers a kind of belonging, yes, but on one condition. You must believe what they tell you. Love in this schema is conditional. Community is a cage. A child learns early that to doubt is to be cast out, not only by heaven, but by family and peers. The message is chilling. Believe or be alone. And if the manipulation stopped here, we might count ourselves lucky. But it does not. Religion feeds the tribal instinct, creating that ruinous division between us and them. You are the chosen. They are the damned. What begins in Sunday school ends on battlefields with scripture as sword. Children raised in such systems are taught empathy only for the in-group. That is not love. It is sectarian narcissism. And what happens to the child who loves to ask why? Who peers through the telescope or reads about the cosmos with trembling awe? Religion answers with thunder. Don't ask, don't question, God did it. In this way, curiosity becomes disobedience and ignorance becomes virtue. Whole generations are dissuaded from science, discouraged from philosophy, forbidden to think outside of ancient scripts. We cannot forget that religion also distorts the child's sense of justice. When children ask why evil exists, they are told that justice will come later, from a divine source.
"Vengeance is mine," says the Lord.
But the effect is to dull our moral instincts, to substitute passivity for action. Cruelty is tolerated because it's God's will. The oppressed are told to wait for paradise. The oppressors are forgiven with confessions. This is not moral guidance. It is moral inversion. What all of this produces is a mind trained not to reason, but to obey. A child becomes dependent on authority, not because it is earned, but because it is divine. Questions are met with reprimands. Conformity is rewarded. Doubt is punished. And once that habit of submission takes root, it becomes the soil in which tyranny thrives. And let us not forget the most ironic twist. Religion often hijacks the child's own imagination. The same faculty that allows them to dream and create is weaponized against them. Instead of nurturing wonder, it implants fear of demons, hellfire, eternal damnation. Nightmares are not accidents. They are scheduled into the program. Even joy itself, music, dance, laughter, is twisted. Religious orthodoxy frequently treats pleasure as a danger, not a delight. Happiness becomes suspicious, play becomes guilt, and the child, once so naturally luminous, dims under the weight of celestial expectations. So let us tell the truth plainly, without apology. Religion has never been about truth. It has always been about control. It offers comfort, yes, but in the way a prison might offer shelter. It provides community, but only if you obey. And its price is nothing less than the child's mind, heart, body, and future. What then must we do? We must refuse to kneel. We must teach children to think, not to believe. To question, not worship. To seek wisdom, not certainty. To build meaning, not beg for it. Let us raise a generation not obsessed with salvation, but with understanding. Not seeking heaven, but building a better world. Right here, in this life. And may that generation rise not in prayer, but in truth. Let us now reflect on what we have uncovered. Again, with unflinching clarity. There are many who walk this world believing they are grown because they have aged, because they vote, pay taxes, raise families, or utter pious words with solemn faces. But these are not the marks of maturity. No, far from it. True adulthood, the authentic, unassailable kind, has nothing to do with superstition, submission, or self-righteous certainty. It does not rest on the stale breath of holy books or the trembling obedience of the fearful. To be truly grown is to emerge from fantasy. to put away the comforting lies of cosmic parents and to accept, with sober courage, that this life is the only one we know. That truth matters more than tradition. That morality cannot be outsourced to invisible tyrants. That responsibility begins where illusion ends. Those stunted by religion, those shackled by the rusted manacles of ancient dogma, often believe they are adults because they parrot authority. But in truth, they have not yet left the nursery. They are still waiting for the divine permission to think, still afraid of disappointing ghosts.
Oh no, we are not here to mock them. We are here to rescue them, to hold up a mirror and say, "You are not wicked. You are simply unfinished." For what is a grown-up, if not one who leaves the cave, sees the world in the hard light of reason, and still dares to love it? One who learns from history not to repeat its horrors. One who leaves behind a legacy, not out of fear, but out of light. A grown-up does not kneel, they build. They question. They create the scaffolding for others to climb further still. The real grown-ups, the true titans of our species, are those who looked up at the night sky and instead of seeing heaven, saw a universe waiting to be understood. Those who, in the face of ignorance and power, stood and spoke and would not shut up. They are the ones who will never die. Not really, because they placed something permanent in the mind of the world. Clarity, courage, and the spark of thought. If there is to be any salvation, let it come not from above, but from within. From minds unafraid to outgrow their gods. From people who finally understand that to grow up is to grow out. Out of the old myths, the old chains, the old fears. And to step with deliberate dignity into the light. That, my friends, is the work. And that is the hope. Thank you. Afterward. There is a lot here, and a lot to unpack for those who are not yet familiar with all the concepts. Oh, I was born into a world that still had bullet holes from World War II, that still had trauma in grandparents' eyes. And I've learned that wars kept going on, that they didn't stop, that the one that was around us stopped, not the other ones. And the more I grew, the more I have learned about terror, about fear, about injustice, and about heroes. Ordinary young people who stand up to tanks. Tanks operated by men who have no mind, whose brains are empty, and who press the pedal to go forward. To me, your comfort is not worth the life of one such hero. And there are many who have been lost.